reason why, like I said, I had to take that sabbatical, because with what I was looking at, with what I was doing my research on, and what I was visualizing, becoming knowledgeable of, becoming aware, and woke politicians, I'm woke, okay? I see the injustices. I'm woke. And it's like, it bothered me. And then what the way we do each other sometimes and think we're going to get away with stuff. It is a travesty. And if we would just, and I say this, I'm like, how come we just can't love each other like God tells us to love each other, you know? But I also realize the opposition that we are dealing with that is totally opposite of Christ. But my thing is this, yes, I had to step back. I had to get my bearings, because I started getting bitter, literally bitter, to the point where Seeley needed to come forth and cuss a few folk out, okay? And that's not going to help anything, by falling into the same pot that they want to pull you down in, if that's making any sense. Somebody has to stay away from the results of person's activity that they can say, I told you so, I could tell you so, that she hasn't changed, he hasn't changed. But, and I might be rambling on, but we have to care more enough to pay attention so that we can see the signs that our children are dealing with. Mm-hmm. We can no longer walk past them, because children will walk to you and hug you and say, I love you, and they're going through hell, okay? Mm-hmm. They're going through hell at the hands of some of our teachers and some of our students, and even some of their own kinfolk, okay? Mm-hmm. This is real, folks, okay? And one of the things, and I can't give you all of it, William, because I don't want you stealing my info as I'm bringing it to Miss Cece's kitchen.
Well, I am a content smuggler. Okay, go on.
Listen, I already know, and I have to teach you. Oh my God.
He's a content thief also.
I prefer smuggler.
He steals my stuff all the time.
I sure do.
He's just like he's waiting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's why I don't send you nothing. Because
you don't have to send, because see, a lot of the stuff you talk about, I've been covering for years anyway.
Whatever, William.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have dibs on all the information, Dr. Sims.
I know you're
well educated, you know, well learned and stuff like that. But you don't have a monopoly on all the information. I've been doing this for years. Young lady.
I know you've been stealing for years. But anyway, I give you a
hey, Mike, that's not funny, Mike.
We're talking on the phone, and it's on Boomerang. The next week, I'm like, wait a minute.
Whoa.
Okay, that's why I can't share.
I've already covered it. Let's talk about something. You mentioned something earlier about mental health. We'll get into more of this in a second. But we've been talking about mental health way before I met you. Okay. As a matter of fact, I think we need to have another program on mental health on the Boomerang coming up shortly as well, because it is the disease. I'm just calling it a disease. The mental health is eroding mental health, or someone who has gone through some real psychological problems. That is more prevalent now than I've ever seen. Or is it because of social media? Is it because of the news or so many things that people, you turn on the TV, I'll give you an example, and I'm not going to give out any names, but this is a true story. I was doing a show one night, and I had a co-host that was supposed to come on, and she texted me, William, I can't come on. I had one of my relatives got in an argument with another relative, left, came back, and chopped his head off and chopped his arm off. Now, I'm in the middle of a show, folks.
A little severe.
I'm in the middle of a show, and I've got to keep my composure, but that thing like, whoa. And so I had to go on with the show as if, you know, nothing was happening and things of that nature, you see. But I'm saying this is absolutely crazy. You see people that are doing just horrendous things as adults, and then also doing horrendous things to our children. You know, and I'm going to give it back to Mike, and also like Mike, when I was doing my mic check, there's something that you said I was talking about, I had mentioned before I left the studio about you and a gift of love program. And I'm going to go back to this, and then I'm going to go get back to, because I want to talk about how some of these preachers out here are destroying our children. I'm going to get to that in a second, and I'm going to toss it to you, Dr. Sims, in a second, okay? Okay. Oh, boy, she's getting all fired up here now. She's getting real fired up, Mike. And Dr. Demery, he's hard on preachers, too. But anyway, Mike left, what he left out is that he was telling me one story, and he had tears in his eyes. He was telling me the story about this young little black kid. He said, the cutest thing with big brown eyes, and he couldn't have been no more than about 4 or 5, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike. And
he might have been 3 or 4. I don't think he was even 5.
I think his head came up to your kneecap, something of that nature.
Yeah, just about his came up to like mid thigh. Uh-huh. Because when he wrapped his arms around my leg and he pulled me in, his head was right there at my upper thigh.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he looked at Mike with those eyes. He said, "Would you be my dad?" Wow. Aww.
This was Gift of Love program. It was the first year I was involved. And we're out there. Our whole thing is, one of the many premises behind Gift of Love program was to show these children that law enforcement is not your enemy, that we're there to help you. If you need help, you can come to us safely. We're not there to hurt anybody. We're there to protect. Mm-hmm. And so we're out there actively playing. We're doing the games with the kids. They got toss, throw games, and they win little prizes, and we're monkeying around with the kids, and we got a bomb squad robot out there that's handing them cards and taking them back and talking to them. Just a wonderful, wonderful program. I can't speak highly enough about it. So this one particular child, he kind of like sort of attached himself to me a bit and was playing back and forth with him. Well, it came time for them to get back on the buses, and all these buses were escorted by sheriff's escort with patrol cars escorting the buses and deputies on the bus, because when they're in domestic violence shelters, they're under protective custody. So we always made sure they made it there safe and got home safe. So it was time to get back on the bus, and he knew it, and they were gathering all the prizes and gifts and stuff and putting on the bus. And at the very end, he comes up. Now, keep in mind, this is my first year doing this Gift of Love program, which was 2000. It started in 98, and I was involved starting in 2000. And he wraps his arms around my leg and looks up at me, head straight up in the air looking at me, and he said, Will you be my daddy?
Mm. Wow.
And before I could answer, because I was going to say, well, no, you you need to stay with your mom. And before I could answer, because I really didn't have a good answer, so he says, "Will you be my daddy?" He says, "Can I go home with you?"
Wow.
Wow.
And he didn't see my race. He didn't see me as a threat. Mm-hmm. He didn't see me as anything. And I followed up with him years later, and to my knowledge, to this very day, now this is back in 2000, so he's in his mid-20s at this point. I haven't had contact with him in probably 10 years, but a very, very wonderful young man. His mom did a great job of raising him without a father, without somebody beating on him. So, yeah, that was, yeah, oh, dude, I drove home. It was raining that day, I remember. So the windshield wipers are going, and I'm crying, and I can't see. And, absolutely true story.
Yeah. Right, right.
Wow.
And see,
amazing.
Wow. Now, wouldn't, folks, ladies and gentlemen, with all the bad stories about bad officers out here, and there are many, but also for every bad one out there, you've got one mic out there. Okay, mm-hmm. I believe
well,
that.
Hopefully you got more than one mic. Hopefully it's a very small ratio of good to bad.
Yeah.
Because I've worked with, my department has currently probably 2,400 sworn and probably another 3,000 non-sworn, what we call professional staff, which is just all the support mm-hmm. positions, the secretaries, mm-hmm. Maintenance, and all of that. So it's a very large department, and and very clean department, very non-corrupt. We do have our idiots out there and our morons, but it's kept to an absolute bare minimum, and the department addressed it and continues to address it actively. You don't see a lot of bad press about the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. If you look at other departments, LAPD, LA Sheriffs and stuff, you see all kinds of issues and problems with other mm-hmm. police departments and such. Mm-hmm. you don't hear or see very much ever about San Diego Sheriff's Department because they operate clean. Well, so you know, I worked for five sheriffs out here, and they all had the same mindset. It's like, no, we're not dirty out here, and we're there to take care of people.
As a matter of fact, I know another story where Mike intervened with one of his superiors one time that was on or was on the border of abusing a suspect or whatever it was.
Oh, and Mike, he did.
Yeah.
It wasn't borderline. He did.
Yeah, and Mike stopped him.
Long story short, it was a very upset young black male that was at 2 a.m. going down the street screaming and hollering at the top of his lungs. Well, it had nothing to do with drugs and alcohol. He was very upset because he broke up with his girlfriend. So there was four of us that showed up, and one of the people was my sergeant. And the sergeant's talking to him, and he's got his back to the driver's door of one of the units. So this young man, who's probably 23 or so, he's very animated. He's very upset. He's not aggressive towards us at all. I mean, nothing. He's just very upset because he broke up with his girlfriend. So as the sergeant is speaking to him, and this young man's back is to the driver's door of the patrol unit, because he was so animated, some spit flew out of his mouth because he was, again, very aggressive in his talking, but he wasn't aggressive towards us. He was just angry because his girlfriend broke up. Well, the spit hit the sergeant in the face, and the sergeant C-clamped him. If you don't know what C-clamp is, I know Dr. Demery does, but they grab you around. You're not allowed to do it anymore, by the way, but they grab you around your esophagus and squeeze. So he did this, and he rose this young man up off of his feet and rolled him up on top of the patrol unit and was holding him there and screaming at him, "You spit on me. You never spit on me." Obviously very, very racist, very aggressive towards this young man who was just upset. He just needed somebody to talk to. And I look at the other two deputies. Now, keep in mind, I'm the young guy. I'm still kind of wet behind the ears as far as like being an officer. And I'm like, holy shit, is this how we protect and serve? And I look at the other two, and they're just kind of watching it. And I went up, and I grabbed the sergeant by the shoulder gently, and I shook him a little, and I said his first name. I said, "Put him down." And he's still screaming at this young man. And I shook him harder, and I said his first name. I said, "Put him down." And he kind of caught himself and realized that he was out of line. And let him down. And of course, as soon as he let him down, the kid's choking and he's apologizing. He goes, "You spit on me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I'm just really upset." So yeah, that's it. And that type of behavior in law enforcement has no place.
Right. And so folks, I'm telling you, that's what I call a good officer. You know, that if he sees say he witnessed one of his fellow officers doing something wrong, he says something. And, you know, and a lot of that goes, a lot of officers, they'll just turn their heads, right? And they won't say anything for fear of whatever retaliation or demotion.
They don't get promoted. The sergeant gives them the horrible shifts, and they get a bad name because they said something against a fellow officer. Well, you know what? I would rather leave the department than to shut my mouth when something like that happens. I never had to.
That's what I'm talking about. That is exactly what I'm talking about. Hey, Dr. Demery, I'm going to Dr. Sims because now I want to talk about the harm that some preachers have done to our children. Now, keep in mind, police officers, teachers, and certainly preachers they're held in a different position than most of us, because they are in positions that they are supposed to be trusted. I mean, how many people don't trust their pastors? Well, probably more than you think. But more than likely, people will go to a particular church because they like the pastor, they trust the pastor, and they believe that they're going to be fed positively with the word and also with encouragement. But you have some preachers that take that position and they do all sorts of nefarious things. Now, and a lot of these things have nothing to do with money. I'm talking about abuse and molestation. Remember, there was a story that I said, Dr. Sims, I don't know whether you were with us or not, but this story came out a couple of years ago about this couple who adopted this young girl. And she wasn't a baby. She was a teenager when they first adopted her. The husband ended up sexually abusing this young lady. In other words, in his own church. And not only that, he would pass her on to other preachers. Okay? Got a question for you, Dr. Demery, and then you, Dr. Sims, because there's more of that going on than you think, where preachers are using their position to molest women and or molest children, which I think that is probably one of the worst crimes that you can do. You're talking about you are a man of God and or a woman of God, and you molesting children. How in the world could you even think of doing something like that? It makes no sense at all. And then think about the scars that you're going to leave with these children. In other words, you and if they don't get proper help, I mean, real serious proper help. I mean, what are their lives going to be like? Dr. Demery, I want you to address these charlatans, and how could a so-called man of the cloth or woman of the cloth do something like that? And what do you think God has in store for them?
Well, you know, I hope you can hear me okay now.
Yes, sir.
I have been on many ministerial boards where ministers were being evaluated for the ministry. And some of them should not even be crossing guards, let alone, in a position of influence, a position of
trust,
public leadership. And it's a shame that sometimes ministry is a mirror image of what goes on in society. You've got sick people in society. You've got sick people in ministry. And one of the things I pride myself on, my denomination, I'm a United Church of Christ. A lot of people criticize our denomination because they say we're too far left and we're support the LGBTQ and all that kind of stuff. That's besides the point. One of the things that I support my denomination on is we have a standard for education. We have a standard for ministry. You have to go through psychological background testing before you can enter the ministry. Just like police officers have to go through. Mike can tell you that most police officers, most departments, well, I think all now, have to go through psychological testing in order for you to be considered for a position in ministry. So with that in mind, and that's not all the way true, because there's some bad eggs that slip through the cracks. You know, there's always going to be some people that slip through the cracks. But for the most part, one of the things that will weed out some of these people is to make sure they have a certain level of education, they have a certain level of training, they have a mentor that mentors them and watches them closely and monitors them. And, you know, the old saying is you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And, you know, there's in this text, people mess this up so often because it is not in the Bible. It's nowhere in there, but people try to throw it on the text. It's not in there, which says whatsoever is done in the darkness will soon be brought to the light. That's nowhere in the Bible, but it is a truth. So if you are doing something wrong, dark, evil, you've embraced the dark side, sooner or later, it's going to come out. Paul Tillich, one of my favorite theologians, says, and his quote is, and Mike has used it before, I think you've even used it, William, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's a quote from Paul Tillich in his theology. And so I think the people that get into positions, William, and they get past, you know, some of the checkpoints, and they make it into positions of influence, and they still embrace the dark sides. They embrace their dark passions and their desires. The hottest places in hell are reserved for those people. Martin Luther King quoted Gandhi when he said, those who in a time of moral crisis, when they surmise and they subjugate their moral clarity, the hottest places in hell are reserved for those individuals. So, you know, it's like Jesus said, and I quote, and it's in the Synoptic Gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's not necessarily in John, because John is not a Synoptic Gospel, where Jesus said, he looked at the little children and he said, woe unto you who would abuse one of these little ones. He said, it would be worse if someone put a millstone around your head and threw you into the sea. And what he's saying is, you know, those who would abuse a child or misuse their power, in a sense, to hurt a young child, and really to hurt anybody in a position of vulnerability. Because when you look at all of us, what an awesome assembly of terribly vulnerable people we are. When you look at our positions and our past and things that we've gone through, the issue is that if you are in a position of power, and we're talking about the clergy right now, and in a position of influence, woe unto you if you abuse your power, let alone hurting a little child. If you abuse a woman, abuse someone who's hurting, use your power to subvert their pain and their sorrow. Woe unto you. You've got to stand before the Bema seat of Christ. And Bema is the Greek word for judgment. Bemato. And one day, we may not see the judgment. We may not see how things turn out. But I would rather, you know, be on top of Mount Everest, like that lady who was climbing the mountain, because the most climbing I do is climbing into my truck. That's how hard that is. I ain't climbing no mountain to any mountain, you know. And so I think it is, you know, subjectively horrific. And it's even binging on being psychotic to those who would harm anyone when they're in a position of power and influence to harm a vulnerable individual. That is the greatest of sins. That is the greatest travesties, to harm someone in a position of vulnerability.
And, you know, Dr. Demery, to get in front of the pulpit every Sunday, and you know that you're one of these people, you've got to be, there's got to be an evil, okay, this is, Dr. Sims, you're going to have to help me with this. I don't know whether it's just evil, whether it's a mental illness, because I don't want to just blame it on a mental illness, and I want you to define this, please, because, and I want you to talk about a couple of things, Dr. Sims. Hey, Mike, pull out your fire extinguisher, because I'm going to toss it to the kitchen in a second. Mike, you got your fire extinguisher?
I got it right here. I'm ready.
Thank you, Mike.
If it gets real bad, if it gets real bad, I got my bulletproof vest.
You're going to have to, you might need both of them. You might need need both. But Dr. Sims, I really want you to take your time and address this, because on the kitchen, you have no issue, talking about these things. And Mike and Dr. Demery, Dr. Sims and I, we talk off air about this a couple of times, more than once or twice or maybe three or four times. And that is, and you know this is true, Dr. Sims, that there are some people do not want you calling out these evil charlatans that's in that pulpit. They don't even want you talking about it. And you and I talked about this, and I said, why don't they want to hear it, Dr. Sims? Why don't they want you to call that out? And one other thing. Not only children, but think of this. You think there is a mother, and let's say, for instance, she's going through a divorce or she's having some real, real marital problems, and she's going to the pastor for some counseling, and this knucklehead, it takes advantage of her. Okay? Dr. Sims, the floor is yours.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
All right. I'm gonna try to,
get
I'm
that fire extinguisher, Mike.
I'm going to try to stay calm.
Okay. I know I stirred up something here.
Yes, you have. And it's getting worse. I mean, we think because a couple have been exposed, but it's getting even worse. And the reason why these charlatans, these uncircumcised individuals, they are doing spiritually, Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light, and he will come into the churches, and he has his hirelings that will come in and perpetrate ministers and come in and project that they are children of God and come in and project that they have the best interest in mind. When their deeds are evil, the intention is to do evil. You have people coming in, and I worked in some of these houses, rehab houses, where they build themselves up, their whole ball and wax is, we're going to go to the church. We're going to go to the, no bit more don't want to live for the Lord, but they had another ulterior motive when it comes to, because they said that's easy prey in the churches because people are sitting there. Most time they are operating out of ignorance. And I say that, and I say that quite strongly, because we're dealing with a lazy people who don't want to get a real sure enough relationship with the Lord. And they want to, they're like little birds. They're taking everything in. And then you have vulnerable people sitting in our churches. They're looking for a way out, folks. They're looking for a better way. They're looking for a better life. They're looking for hope. Mm. And then you get these charlatans up there to make it look like they got it going on when their agenda was wrong. Now, I heard Dr. Demery said, you know, the background check, especially for the police force and stuff like that. And then, too, I'm thinking they should do it even for the churches, because the reason why I say that is because you have some sick predators that come in there. See, we don't know their whole story. We don't know what they've been involved in. We don't know what they say they've been delivered from, okay? You have pedophiles. I gotta, and I'm gonna get back to the pastors. And like I said, I'm trying to stay calm on this because, But anyway, we have pedophiles in every area. I mean, it's crazy. We have this kind of going on in families. We have incest and things going on. We have one in my thesis I wrote, Hidden Addictions and Secret Sins, but Healing Through Spiritual Guidance. And when the dean saw that topic was given to me. And there's a reason why that topic was given to me is because I used to go to the churches, the Lord had me to be quiet, watch, look, listen, and learn. I need to show you some things. I need to show you what not to do and what to do, when to speak and when not to speak, and what to say, what not to say. I'm a whistleblower, folks, okay? I'm not playing with these weirdos that come in the church under the guise of being Christians. Christian, the word Christian is used so lightly. And Christian means being Christ-like. But that's not what we're getting most cases. And I'm not saying everybody, folks, don't get me wrong. Not all pastors are bad. Not all ministers are bad. But the way it's going now, they have an influx. And we have to understand, too, who is in charge of these evil deeds. The Lord said, well, it's ever done in the dark. Oh, I heard Dr. Demery. I looked up a scripture, Dr. Demery, Matthew 10:27. It says, what I say to you in the darkness, tell it in the light, and what you hear whispered announced from the rooftop. And that was my wheelhouse, William, that I'm telling on all y'all, okay? It is what it is. I'm telling on you, okay? If I find out and there's no repentance on what you've done to an individual and you've hurt somebody, and you've abused them emotionally and spiritually, and then you want to continue to hide and be sanctioned behind your foolishness? No, somebody has got to tell it. But William, you asked the question, why is it that many does not want to be exposed or want anybody to expose them? A lot of times, as you pat my back, I'll pat your back. You watch my back, I'll watch your back. We have, and it's not just one or two, it's an epidemic, and they want to keep it hidden. They want to keep it hidden. They don't want to be responsible for coming clean. They know what they've done. We have people that will confess when they get caught. You know that story, Mike, when people get caught. When they get caught, now they want to say, I am so sorry. I am so this, but you got caught. And that's why you're doing what you're doing. So to me, in that essence, the repentance is not authentic or real. It's because you got caught. Does that make you whole? No, that doesn't make you whole.
The holes are still in the fence.
Yes. My thing is, some people go into some of the churches with the intent to harm. Because I said this once before, people come from homes wounded. Just because they come to the church don't mean they're whole. Dr. Demery, he has to preach a message to get them on the good foot, the right path of the Lord. When they come in, they're looking for something. But a lot of times they meet confusion, delusional people. They meet people have mental health issues. They meet people who are just not whole. And what are you going to do? The Bible talks about the wheat and the tare growing together, and they sit in the churches, y'all. And so we don't really know how to ID them correctly, because sometimes the tare looks like the wheat. That's why the Lord says that he's going to do the separation. And so my thing is these charlatans, they need to go to jail. And our jails are overrun. They're overwhelmed by this kind of appetite. And so, and I don't know what else to say. I mean, there's just such abomination that's going on. I'm talking about when you abuse a child, when you do that to an innocent child and make that child your snack, okay? You make that child your dessert. Your intended plan is to hurt. You have prayed, people who pray for you, and then you have prayers, P-R-E-Y-E-R-S, who pray on the vulnerable. I remember when I was writing my thesis, I interviewed a young lady, and I asked her, why does she not go to church? William, you brought something up, because when she, the pastor told her, let's have a council meeting and let's talk. And before she found herself in a very bad situation where he was having sexual appetites for her, and he was he was acting out those sexual appetites. Mm. And so a lot of them are married, okay? A lot of them are just delusional in their thought process, and they use the word of God. This is what bothers me. They use God's word as a tool to put people in bondage. That's what they do. But God tells us, folks, and I told y'all, get your own relationship with the Lord. Don't believe me. Get it yourself, okay? Because you're going to have to work it out, your own soul salvation. And that's what the word of God says. But my thing is he said, put no confidence in flesh. That's exactly what he means. Because you're in Galatians, they're led away through the lust of their flesh. They're doing everything that their flesh desires. Say it. Everything, okay, with your babies, with your mama and them, I'm telling you, with your brothers, with your little boys, we got pedophiles, we got the LGBTQATT, whatever it is, okay, everything, okay, I mean,
WXYZ,
whatever goes, okay, I'm just saying it. I love God's people, but I hate the deeds that are being displayed. LGBT, you can get mad at me, boycott me. You know what? It is what it is. I love you, but you're still going to have to face glory because the word of God still tells us some things. We are dealing with demonic forces, folks, that they feel the urges. And I mean, they've been fighting them. I was at listening to my daughters in Chicago right now, attending a conference. There was a young man who's a vendor. He got up and he says that he wrote a book on, Save Eagles Will Fly. And when he wrote this book about, he said that he's been delivered from homosexuality. He says, I need you to know there's all of this stuff is in the church and out of the church, in the pulpits and out of the pulpits. He said, I've struggled with this and nobody wants to talk about it. That is not my behavior or my appetite, but because it was introduced to him. Okay. A lot of these things, you look at the Eddie Long, I mean, he's gone, okay, but it is what it is, okay? Take it flying men way across country. I ministered a message at a Methodist church, and I says, same price, same sin, same outcome. And I said, you can fly a woman over to Paris, but you and pay, and I gave some hypothetical figure, 5,252 cents, something comical.
And 52 cents.
Wait, that part. That's why they laugh. And I said, and you can go to all night low down hotel, motel for $29.95. But when it comes to judgment, the same crime, the same time. Mm-hmm. Okay? When you get to God, sin is sin. Adultery is adultery. Fornication is fornication. Same crime, same time. God has no differences. But he is, Dr. Demery said, he is going to judge those of us who teach, who preach, okay, who minister. He's going to judge us harsher. That's in the word of God. I can't get away from it. But I'm talking about, we need to, as while I was on my sabbatical, I was just really talking to the Lord. He says, I told you to watch and pray. And I'm like, okay, I do. He said, no, you don't. Because we use that as, you know, just kind of are just narrow. And he said, pray without ceasing. He said, I didn't tell you to close your eyes. I need you to see who's in there. Mm-hmm. I need you to understand what's sitting in the pews. That was one of the questions I wrote on my thesis. Do you know who walked in the church? Do you know who's in the pews? You have victims and predators sitting right there. Mm-hmm. And they're going back to be victimized all over again. Mm-hmm. But we want to, and another thing God told me, he said, why do people, the question I asked, why do you want to shout around it and don't deal with it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Why you want to shout around it, sing songs around it, and the sickness is still there. Okay. It's because people don't want to counsel hardly anymore. You can't get a preacher to counsel. You know why? Because most of them is going to be caught in that trip bag. Most of them are molesters. A whole lot of them are molesters. Or they have them in their congregation and they don't want to deal with it. I call the biggest word is you compromise. Mm-hmm. You compromise with what is going on. You don't want to. I look at these big, big mega preachers. I'm like, you know what? Y'all make me sick. Mm-hmm. You make me sick because you don't want to deal with it. Okay? If you were dealing with it, then your child wouldn't be molested in your church bathroom. Mm, okay. In the nursery, 11-year-old would not molest a 5-year-old. Mm. Okay. Because the 11-year-old had been molested by somebody. Mm-hmm. And then too, you won't have the choir director sliding across the bench, bleeding out of his. I'm telling you what's real, that sitting in our places. And this is what people don't like to hear.
Yep.
Because it's gut wrenching.
Right.
And they would rather walk past it. Now, I love you. God loves us all. And I would look at people and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But somebody got to tell them the wrong that they are doing. Somebody mm-hmm. got to tell them this is not brotherly or sisterly. It's not like Christ. It is not. Mm-hmm. If you're in sin, I tell you, I deal with the people with the do. Some people, they want you to have a person so high that they cannot be addressed. I don't care if you're up potate, if you're bishop, if you're archbishop, if you're this, if you're that. If God sends me a message for your stinkiness, I'm going to tell you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be like the Nathan to David. Okay? Mm-hmm. Nathan was a prophetic man. He went to David. You know, David had that woman's husband killed. Now, I wonder how many in our churches is doing that, killing people's emotions, killing people's spirits.
Yep.
Messing with people's wives, sleeping with other people's husbands, sleeping with other people's wives, all while you preaching and dancing around it. The Lord said there's a form of godliness, and the form is not getting the glory, folks. Wake up. You're not going. Mm-hmm. And there is no alternative. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And guess what? He's not having no whole heaven. Hello, Jesus.
Mm.
Okay?
I never heard that before. Whole heaven.
Well, whole heaven. Ain't no whole spot. Ain't no spot for the homies. Ain't no drug dealers and prostitutions up there.
Uh-oh.
And okay, see, William,
that's a continuum.
The things that you could do to prevent a lot of this. I mean, I pastor a church, and there are things that you can do. Like, for example, I'm going to give you an example. if I got a call in the middle of the night from a woman that called me, and yes, I'm using a woman because I'm a man, my wife is getting her clothes on to go with me wherever I'm going.
Yes.
In the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. When I'm interviewing a woman at my church, I have several ladies at my church that already know this. My door is cracked. If they do not see me, they have permission to come in my office and say, Pastor, is everything all right?
That's
now,
great.
When you start living a humble life like that, you can avoid a lot of the mess that goes on. Well, you know, Reverend Demi, no, Reverend Demi lie. I did not do that because I got witnesses. Mm-hmm. My wife was with me when I went to that woman's house, and she came to the front door naked.
I've been on calls like that. I've rolled on calls.
That happened to me when I was on active duty. So you can avoid that, preachers and teachers who are listening to me, by covering yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Cover your tracks, cover your ground. And if you are responsible, you know, before I was married, I had the mothers in the church would say, Minister Demi, if sometimes you call me, I'll go with you. I'll take care of that heifer. If she's acting crazy, I'll watch out for you. You won't work. You know I'm telling the truth.
I know.
And my mom even said, look, I'll go with you. You call me up, I'll go with you.
Not
you
more.
Know, I've never had these nasty women out here, you know, mess up your reputation. Because there's a lot of people that are intent on setting pastors up.
Mm-hmm.
They will set you up. They will carve you up like a Christmas turkey if you're not careful.
Yep.
And Dr. Demery, can I just say this one thing, William? Dr. Demery, you're right on it. And I'm hitting the hardcore ones and the ones who are safe like you're doing. That's an awesome thing. And that's learned, too, because most of them didn't understand that until later on. Because you have those people who go in there specifically to destroy. Okay, and I'm talking what is real here, okay? And you have those specifically designed to go in there to cause havoc in people's lives. And so my thing is, you're right, Dr. Demery, yes, have your wife there. Okay, but my thing is this, what about the ones that the men who are after some of the lay women, okay? I'm just saying, flirtatious and trying to get numbers. And the Farrakhan, I call him my bishop because he was cleaning house. He got them charlatans out there. He had them women sitting up there. He said, you showing all your goody goods. He said, escort them out. The shepherd is the one who watches for the souls of the saints who are underneath him, period. Not joining the festivities. Okay, I said my piece.
Well, you know, and I'm going to toss it over to Mike, but Dr. Demery, you're so right. The ones who are honest and they're there to really deliver the word, and they want to nourish as much as they can their congregation, they will do exactly what you're talking about. But you got those other charlatans. Oh, look, they waiting for calls like that. They are not trying to protect themselves. So, yeah, you know, you're preaching to the choir to the point that, yeah, you honest guys or honest preachers out there, yep, you want to make sure that everything is above board. You want that door open. You want to make sure if you get that call at night that, hey, you taking your wife with you or you taking some responsible person with you to make sure that you protect it. But you have some, they're not looking for that protection because they want to do.
I have my son with me. If a man wants to counsel with me, I have to have my son.
Yeah.
There.
But you have other preachers, Doctor. What I'm saying, Dr. Sims, the ones that are about doing wrong, they're not trying to prevent these types of things from happening. Now, that's not them at all. And I'm gonna toss it over to Mike. I promise, Mike. But then again, Dr. Sims and Dr. Demery, there are certain people say, why are y'all talking about that? Why are you bringing this up? Why are you and they don't want you criticizing these preachers. And my question is, why not? Because you and I have had conversations, Dr. Sims, and more than one, well, they don't want you talking about what you're talking about. They don't want you criticizing these preachers. And my question is why? Mike?
Well, my answer to that is sunshine is a great disinfectant. So, yeah, put it all out there and let people decide what's good and what's evil.
That's right.
I something as a little segue here. I used whatever division I was working in, we had regulars that would call in on Fridays and Saturday nights, or sometimes during the weekend. And they were known to the department because Mrs. Smith would always call. There's somebody in my backyard. There's somebody trying to break into my house. And then you go knock on the door, and like you say, they show up in a towel or a nightie or something like that. And so we already knew when we were rolling on these calls that they just wanted an officer in uniform. There was nobody in their backyard. Wow. But we'd go through the motions and all that. So yeah, segue to what we're talking about. But go on with what Dr. Sims was talking about, and a question that William asked earlier tonight was, why are we seeing so many of these problems now? Is it greater? Is it less? What are these contributing factors? So a couple of things that I wrote down, and I'd love to hear all your input on this, is number one, we have more people on Earth now than ever before. So percentage-wise, you know, if you had, let's say you had 5%, I'm just pulling these figures out just for discussion. Let's say 5% of the population were pedophiles. Well, now because we have so much more of a population, then we have a larger number, not necessarily a larger percentage, but a larger number of people that are pedophiles. And same thing with the clergy. We have more clergy now than we've ever had in the past, so there's more opportunity for that abuse. So I made a couple of notes here. Why are we seeing all these problems? And this is my perspective only. I think there's a lack, at least here in the U.S., I have spent very little time out of the country, so I'm going to kind of stick to the U.S., but we have a lack of accountability these days.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lack of shame.
Ooh.
Because in other countries, when you did something wrong, you shamed your entire family.
Oh yeah.
And in when you go to other countries, their jails and their prisons are small and pretty empty because your family would discipline you if you shamed the family. So, there's a lack of shame here in America because actually, and Dr. Demery will back me up on this, if you get put in prison for killing a cop or something like it, it's a badge of honor. It's a feather in your cap. You're glorified. You know, Joker killed. Now we just had a Pasadena sheriff, ambushed and killed, yesterday.
Yes.
And whoever did that, it was probably for gang initiation or something like that. So we have a lack of accountability, lack of shame. We have a massive drug problem, massive drug problem, meth and these things that alter people's ability to think clearly and act. And as Dr. Sim says, needs to get some of that act right. Well, yeah, that gets in, that interferes with acting right. We have media bias, and I'm going to lay that out on both sides, conservative and liberal. We have media bias. The media should be stating the facts, the truth. That's it. Stop adding to it with your own opinions. The news should be just the news, not your opinions. If you want to do opinion pieces, then fine, do a different show. But the news should be clean. We have way too many single parent homes. So we have a working parent that's never at home to guide their child to fill their head with good instead of evil. So what happens is these kids end up on the street. They end up with gangs. They end up with bad influence, and they end up, many times dead or certainly damaged. Lack of good role models. Same situation. Mm-hmm. If you don't have two parents in the home, and you got one parent that's an absent parent because of work just to survive, they lack good role models. So where do they turn? They turn to the streets. So lack of good role models. Lack of personal discipline. Right. We don't require people to be disciplined anymore. Mm-hmm. We just don't. You know, everything's fair game. Right. Everything's going to be okay. Everybody's a winner. Well, you know what? Life dictates when you grow up, everybody's not a winner. So, you know, you can take your participation trophy and throw it out the window because
sure can.
You have to learn that there's winners and losers, and where do you want to be? And one of the things that I was taught by one of my my field training officers when I was a young officer is to talk to these people. And when I had somebody in the back of my patrol car and they messed up, they did something wrong, I would ask them this question. And again, I didn't figure this out on my own. I was trained. I would ask them, you know, today you messed up. Today
you're a loser. Mm. What are you going to be tomorrow and next week and next month and the rest of your life? Do you want to be a loser? Do you want to be a loser the rest of your life? Or do you want to make something of yourself? Turn yourself around. Get yourself right with God. God don't like ugly, so stop being ugly. So I would talk to them, and I think I've told stories before. I'd be in Stater Brothers or somewhere shopping, and I'd lock eyes with somebody at the other end of the aisle, and they start making a beeline for me. It's like, okay, I can get to my weapon. I'm cool. I can fight my way out of this. And they come up to me, and so I don't know because I don't recognize them. They'd say, hi, you don't remember me, do you? And I've had this happen more than once. You don't remember me, do you? I go, I got to be honest, I don't. And they put their hand out. They shake my hand. They say, you arrested me in Fontana back in 1984. Wow. 84. Mm. Yeah, you pulled me out of the gutter. You got me a blanket. You got me a pack of smokes, and I could only smoke one before we got to the jail. You got me a soda because you wouldn't buy me a beer, and you got me a sandwich because I hadn't eaten in 2 days. So I would go by the local Stop and Rob, you know, the 7-Eleven, whatever. And I get them, if they're a smoker, I get them a pack of smokes and throw the rest of it out and get them something to drink, get them something to eat, make sure they're warm. And I would talk to them, much like what I've already spoken about today. And I wish them well and send them on their way. And then decades later, sometimes they come up to me in the market and stuff and say, yeah, I listened to you and you talked to me like a human being. You talked to me like my life mattered. You made me realize my life does matter. You know, I want you to know I'm married. I have a little boy and a little girl, and I'm happy. I work for XYZ, and I'm so glad that you were the one that arrested me and took me to jail.
Nice.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. Nice. And again, very similar situations have happened on multiple times for me. So lack of discipline, mental health is a huge issue, and I think a lot of the mental health issues are because – the major influence of drugs in our society, and the lack of again, the total lack of parenting. It's not that the single parent doesn't want to be a good parent; they're just not there to do it. And when they are there, they're gone. You know, they're so fatigued and so jaded, and they can only do so much as a single parent. Mm-hmm. And again, I already mentioned the jails in other countries are small and empty, and that's because. It's shameful when you get yourself in trouble in other countries. And I would also add that people, the ministers, pastors, law enforcement, whoever these professionals are and parents, they need to get their mind right in that you need to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And I think many of these people end up being part of the problem, not because of action, but many times because of lack of acting. And doing something about it. So there's my 2 cents worth, and over to you guys.
No, good point, good point. And I can't believe I wanted to get to the school board, but a lot of times we get into these conversations, and I can't believe 2 hours later, but I think this conversation was well worth having, because something else you said, Mike, yes, we have more numbers, but because of the things that you just stated, the notes that you took, I think that we do have a lack of morals today versus when we were growing up. Because remember, we used to know, and we talked about this several times. You would know your neighbors. I mean, the whole block, the block behind you, the block. I mean, blocks and blocks and blocks. You knew them.
And they knew how to get a hold of your parents.
And oh boy.
Yeah, you got a whooping by them, and then when you got home, you got another one.
Hey, look, but I know several times the information got home before I did, and we didn't have internet. We did not have internet. But the thing about it was everybody looked out for one another. Today, in many cases, in many neighbors, many times, you don't know, you might know your next door neighbor, or you might know, on either side, and maybe someone across the street. But go down the street, go down the block, and many neighbors don't know each other. People stay to themselves. There's no communication there. Okay. And so I think that the numbers are, even though there's a larger population, I think the percentages, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, they are higher.
They've gone up.
They're gone up because of these things. Now, of course, if you're going to let Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and all these other crazy websites. Now, we use these websites, I mean, these platforms ourselves to promote our shows, Dr. Sims, Dr. Demery, Mike. We use these platforms like Twitter, LinkedIn, and things of that nature. But a lot of times, some of the content that these children find on the computers, and believe it, they can navigate around a computer faster than we can. They can get to some of these sites. And parents, they aren't putting blocks on some of the programming that our children are watching. They're not putting blocks on this pornographic materials that your children have access to.
The kids know how to get around those blocks, by the way.
Oh my goodness. They're
way smarter than we are. You can put all the parental blocks you want. They are not foolproof.
Oh boy.
And they speak in code. I mean, they're worse than the Pentagon. I'm just saying, because they can go in code. I mean, it's phenomenal. One of the things, I'll share this with you real quick, that I told my grandchildren, they were posting my grandbabies on there, and they're cutie. I told them, stop putting their pictures on,
that's
on
right.
social media, because you have predators who, they will find out where you live. It doesn't matter if you try to be fictitious. They will get your what is it, that number, the HTTP, that, what do you call it, Mike?
Mike knows about this.
Are we talking about geotagging, where every picture you put on the internet
has? They can find out exactly, geotagging. Track you, should I say, exactly where you live. And they may go around the mulberry bush, but they'll find you. And it's not like it used to be. They're snatching babies out of women's arms.
Isn't that something?
They're coming into the houses. They're coming into the yards, folks, and I'm telling you. Now, I do want to say this so they won't think Dr. Sims don't love anybody. Okay, I need to clear this up because I know y'all talking about a girl. I'm cool with it, though. I love all y'all. I hate the sin that a whole lot of you all are doing, and it's time for exposure so you can get healing. As long as things are hidden and done in secrecy, you will never be delivered, and you'll think it's okay, and it is not okay. God loves us enough to share with us our travesties, our deeds, because none of this, folks, he's loving and mercy, but there is a prerequisite for everybody's not going to heaven and screaming heaven. There is a prerequisite for you to get there. And I have to tell it. Many of us have to tell it in this day and time. The things that are happening today is not soft. They are coming forceful with it. They are just intentional. So guess what? I have to be who I am, and Dr. Demery's who he is, but I'm the one who hit it right on the head, okay? I'm coming to knock you out so that you get some act right. And I'm just saying this hypothetically, okay? And I sound hardcore because their sins are hardcore, okay? To the point where they're arrogant with it. And the more they do, the more control they get over the individual, and they are totally out of control. And they are sanctioning that. I would rather you get it this way instead of God turn you over to a reprobate mind where you don't want to believe the truth. You rather believe the lie. So I do love y'all. I do. If I didn't love you, you think this is easy for a girl? Y'all, you might think it is. It's not. It's not easy. Because if you knew how much I cry after I do some of these shows, especially on Miss Cece's Kitchen, and the documentation that I'm receiving, I am crying. Literally, my children can tell you, I'm crying because it hurts my heart. And if it hurts my heart, what does it do to God?
Right.
For you to do.
No, we hear
you. Middle one.
No, I talk to you often. I talk to you often.
Hang a millstone around your neck and cast yourself, that's what scripture said, cast yourself into the sea mess with his little ones. And that is the word of God. And that's what God is telling you. Don't mess with his children because you're going to suffer the repercussion. I don't care if you're 52, 2, 3, 4, 5. You don't misuse each other, period.
Period. Yeah. Dr. Sims, tell us about Cece's Kitchen when it comes on. And what do you talk about this week so I can steal it?
I'm not telling you nothing. Just come on in there and see what we're doing. I've got a lot of data. I'm telling you, this data that I got, William, you don't know about.
Good. When does it air? When does your show air?
It airs on Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Studio W Buzz. We're also on LinkedIn. We're also on Spotify. We're on Twitter. And so we also air on Facebook. And so come on in and join us. Come on in with the heat, okay?
Because oh, she's going to bring the heat.
The heat purifies some wrongdoing.
And Mike has the fire extinguisher in the background waiting for you. Dr. Demery, the Mentone Congregational Church, where are you located?
That's it, yes.
We're at 1235 Barrel Avenue in Mentone, California. And one of the things that I hope all of us will do is keep that family in prayer, that deputy that was ambushed brutally by a coward. They came up behind him and shot him in the head.
Wow.
And that is a tragic thing. So let's keep that family lifted up in prayer. I think he had a fiance, and I'm sure he had a mama and a daddy, maybe brothers and sisters, I don't know. But we need to keep them lifted up in prayer because that is a tragic thing. And there are family members, I'm sure, that are in bereavement and are grieving for the loss of this deputy. So let's keep them lifted up in prayer.
Right. Mike, Mad Mike and Wild Will Coast to Coast, when does it air and what do you guys talk about?
Well, we do an extremely wide variety of music that you won't hear anywhere else. We'll push, like I said, Mozart right up against Willie Nelson, right up against Tupac. It doesn't matter. We play an extremely wide variety of music and we do it on purpose. And we have a lot of fun doing it too. We don't quite get in depth like William used to do with the professor on Monday nights on Monday Night Madness, where they really, really did a deep dive on the artists and the songs and such. But we do a little bit of that. We give you a little more background than you're going to get on regular radio stations. And we have a blast doing it. We poke fun just like we do here on the Boomerang. Sometimes we have a great time. So
great time.
5 o'clock on the West Coast. 8 o'clock on the East Coast, and if you're in between, you're grown adults, you can figure it out.
Hey, that's right. And we're also on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as, like Dr. Sims said earlier, and this particular program is on Spotify, iTunes. You can also download one of our free apps. If you have an Apple device, just go to your Apple App Store and download Studio.W. Android is simply Studio W. We're available on Alexa, Google Play, Apple CarPlay, and we would love for you to visit the website. If you want to hear this show again, if you missed part of it, you just want to share it with someone, just go to studiow.buzz. Ladies and gentlemen, we've gone over a few minutes. We didn't even talk about what I initially thought we would talk about, but I cherish you guys and really appreciate the conversation because, again, I think this was one that needed to be said and heard. So, hey guys, you got a few minutes. Come back in about 55 minutes and you will check out Sunday Night Gold with yours truly and the Jazzy One on Sunday Night Gold. Hey guys, great job. Thanks a lot, Dr. Sims, Dr. Demery, and Mike. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Good night.
Love you guys. See you next week.
Have a good evening. Enjoy, you guys. Hey, Emma C., how are you?
There was a time.